Welcome to ID the Future from Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. In this fourth and final segment of William Dembski's appearance on the Gilmore and Glahn show, Gilmore and Dembski continue their discussion of advances being made behind the scenes in the overall scientific debate and the inevitable demise of Darwinian evolution as the predominant theory in life sciences.
I think there's a problem with intelligent design that there isn't so much in economics. I mean, in economics, if you have a bad economic model and you apply it, witness the meltdown with the mortgage-backed securities, reality will come and bite you in the rear end at some point. With intelligent design, it's a theoretical argument in some ways. We're dealing with the complexity of life. We've got butterflies and neat things like that to explain. But I explain it in terms of design. You explain it in terms of some sort of random process. Prove us wrong. Well, you know, I think we've got the better argument, but there was this great New Yorker cartoon back in the 50s where it's, you've got a wonderful case, Mr. Pitkin. Now, how much justice can you afford? You know?
Well, you know, we that's a good one. Much,
that's
you know?
A good one. It's the way of all flesh, I'm afraid. That's, yeah, how much justice can you afford? That's exactly right.
I think our budgets are much more limited than our adversaries. So I sometimes see us in terms of a Gideon's band. We don't have that many. The incentive structure is all in favor of the other side. I mean, if you want to get a nice cush research position, endowed professorship, or just get stroked by the academy, beat up on some intelligent design guy or intelligent design theory.
Right.
But turn the tables, you know, I mean, it doesn't work that way on our end.
Yeah. It's a rather cheap approach, isn't it? Cheap grace or something. Well, don't you think it's the case, Bill, given the mismatch in resources and the grossly unlevel playing field, just in terms of public perception and understanding, which is probably a secondary matter, don't you think that it's things like your appearance at the University of Chicago or the publication of Thomas Nagel's Mind and Cosmos that really has the effect of moving that needle somewhat? Because both of those instances or both of those examples, you could argue, represent a breakthrough. Nothing has been done like Thomas Nagel's book. It's not this huge book, but it had quite an impact both within philosophy and outside, as you well know. And isn't the howling of the Jerry Coins of the world indicative of a certain measure or a certain modicum of progress?
Yeah, I would say it's an indication of progress, but as you say, modicum, and how do you measure that? I think often there are threshold effects, though, and critical masses that need to be reached. And with my talk at University of Chicago, I met with lots of faculty after my talk in their offices, talked with them. It was congenial. It looked like maybe, hey, there might be opportunities for collaboration, but nothing has become of that. So it's hard for me to say just how much of an impact this makes. I think we have to keep trying. But I remember when Anthony Flew converted to the theistic position. It wasn't Christianity per se, but you know, he was, prior to Dawkins, he was the best known academic intellectual atheist in the English-speaking world. And so that was a big deal, but New York Times dismissed it as Flew in his dotage.
Right.
He got subverted by some Christians and now is spouting this theistic intelligent design line. And it was actually intelligent design arguments, I think more perhaps at the level of cosmology than biology. Actually, both were involved, I think, for him, that suggested that there had to be an intelligence behind the world.
Right.
So it's hard to say. I remember one colleague of mine, David Berlinski, he was years ago describing how there was a reading group. Berlinski is a skeptic of Darwinian evolution. He said there was a reading group at MIT, but none of them would go public. This is of MIT faculty, but you know, they wouldn't let it be known. So I think there's a lot going on underground, but if you have to face the vituperation and anger of a Jerry Coyne, you know, where somebody will just take you on.
Yeah, and, it's vicious. You know, it's vicious.
I mean, if you're a typical academic, why do you want to deal with that?
That's
right. You know, just keep your head down.
Yep.
Do your stuff. And so I think it's tough for these ideas really to break out in a way where people will say, hey, these intelligent design people are onto something. We really need to give them a hearing because there will be such a backlash.
I remember early on meeting you and learning about everything just as quickly as I could, probably a mile wide and an inch deep, but still, I was trying. And I remember you saying early on that you were ready to lead the charge with help of others, you know, of putting Darwin in history's trash bin. And I thought, wow, that's a lot to bite off and chew. But I admired that you set your aim so high. And it's been interesting over these years to see the progression of that effort in ways that you, and certainly not I, could never have predicted. The twists and the turns, the ups and the downs, the experience at Baylor, everything all wrapped up. It's been remarkable watching you live out your public life and have some genuine difficulties because of the backlash and the attitude that people will take. And some of your critics are, I don't even know if the word unprofessional is quite sufficient to cover that waterfront, because I smiled when you said just a little bit ago that you thought that Darwinianism, neo-Darwinian theory, was just as good an example of fundamentalism as anything else. And it's that extreme fundamentalist overreaction to you over the years that I have seen, sometimes up close, sometimes at somewhat of a remove, that has fascinated me. Because, you know, the saying goes that you don't get flack unless you're over the target. And there's something, I think, to your efforts over the years. And it may be, Bill Dembski, that you won't see it in your lifetime. And here's hoping for another 50 years or at least something where you're still compos mentos. And it may be that it will be history that vindicates you and your other thinkers, or you'll have half a win. You never know what's going to be coming down the pike to augment your approach. It seems to me from what you've been saying to our audience today that the Darwinian theory itself is something that you can just stay out of its way because it's falling apart on its own terms. Otherwise, there wouldn't be that third wave of evolution.
Well, I think that's right, but inertia can be a very strong force in its own right. And I think that's partly what we face, so that you have this theory that has all the problems, and yet the alternatives are unthinkable for many people, and so they just persist with this moribund theory. You know, for my part, it's funny to hear you say trash bin of history. I'm sure I used those terms or put it in those terms
pretty close
way back, but pretty, I mean, close. I think a lot of that triumphalism is gone for me now. I mean, not that I think we have the better argument, but
yes.
There's more to getting an idea out and accept it than just the merits of the argument.
That's right. You know, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. David Berlinski came to the Twin Cities when he was on his book tour of The Devil's Delusion. Right. And he wrote that more or less in response to Richard Dawkins' The God Illusion. And he was at some building on the University of Minnesota, very large campus. I don't go there often because it's sort of education on a scale that is off-putting to me, but each to their own. That's where he was. And there was a decent crowd for him. And in the audience was another Darwinian extremist, P.Z. Myers. And the interchange between the two was something to behold. I knew who had the finer mind. And afterwards, though, people were clustering around as is its wont after these sort of things. And I introduced myself as your attorney. And he sort of cocked his head thinking, well, he hadn't looked crazy heretofore. And he said, well, I suppose even Bill deserves a lawyer. So you've got that much going for you, Bill, that, you know, in this system of ours, even you are deserving of legal representation. Even though I don't practice anymore, it was startling at the time because that was the depth of the animosity. And with PZ, who teaches, he's at Mankato, isn't he, in Minnesota? I think he's at the University of Minnesota at Mankato.
One of the University of Minnesota campuses.
Yeah, I think he's at Mankato. He's not in the Twin Cities. And he's, you know, a name. His profile is maybe not what it used to be, but he says ridiculous and crazy things too as well. I think only underlining that notion of fundamentalism. And I think when people understand that Darwinism as currently proffered to the culture at large is simplistic, is a soundbite, and is a sort of fundamentalism, then there'll be enough intellectual and cultural space for other ideas to be given a respectful hearing, which I think since the time I've known you is all that you've ever wanted, is a respectful hearing of competing ideas, and let's argue it out. It's sort of, you know, three-dimensional chess. And if they have a good move, then you need to sit back and think it through with Professor Marx or others and try to account for this or that. It seems to me that would be one definition of the highlight of the life of the mind. And of course, that's all very highfalutin, but it comes down to, as you say, the lived life, to quote Henry James, and getting through. And people are human beings and they have families or relationships and they need to put bread on the table. And there's only so much risk that people will take in any given situation. And so you magnify that. And I suppose in some ways, Bill Dembski, it's to your credit and others that you've made as much progress as you have.
Yeah. I think it's remarkable that we've, not just myself, but my colleagues, given how small our band is in terms of numbers and how little we've had in the way of resources, I think it's remarkable the impact we've had. But as you say, I mean, I think I would put it in terms of, you know, I'd like a place at the table, but I think that's precisely what is being resisted. We get marginalized. I spoke to a fellow that I've known at the Templeton Foundation for years and years. I hadn't seen him for probably about a decade. And it came up just why I think I haven't been invited to one of their events in years and years. I mean, I got a $100,000 book grant from them back around 1999. It was actually for this book, Being as Communion. It took a while to get it done. Mm. But, he put it in these terms. He said, you know, the problem is that there would be these other people. It's like my daughter at a birthday party. If I invite this person, then so-and-so is not going to come. So, right. You know, it's just a question of setting up the guest list. And the problem is if intelligent design people are on the guest list, other people that they want are not going to be there. And so it's, I think that's the mentality. And you know, so what do you do with that? I think, again, for my own sanity, I just have to do my work and not worry about these things.
Right. No, that's exactly right. Well, Bill Dembski, thank you for taking the time to come on the program and to discuss a wide variety of what you've been doing, lo, these many years. One admonition to you, my friend, I checked, and through the miracle of Wi-Fi, you last tweeted on March 9th, 2013. And that might be, that's a while, a little more than 2 years, and it might be worth your time. I know our mutual friend Denise O'Leary tweets a little more frequently when she will post at the Design Inference website. Speaking of resources, Bill, if listeners would like to learn more about you, is there a website or is it just into the Google Mall, William Dembski or Bill Dembski? I'm looking for things that are an accurate portrayal of your work. I don't want them to go to Jerry Coyne.
Right.
They can if they want. Obviously, everything should be looked at from all these varieties. We're not trying to suggest otherwise. But if people had an initial appetite that's been whetted by this program, where would you recommend they would go?
I think bestschools.org interview with me. So if you just punch an interview in Dembski and Google, that will take you there. I think that'll be a good place to start. And then I have a personal website called designinference.com. So if you go to that, many of my writings are there, although I haven't updated it for about a year or two. I really need to get back to that. But those two places would probably be the best to start. And then, you know, I've been a fellow for going on 20 years with Discovery Institute, Seattle's Discovery Institute. And so I'm part of the Center for Science and Culture there. And so you can find stuff about me there, as well as about my colleagues, so you get a sense of the broader community of the intelligent design movement.
And that would be discovery.org, is that correct?
Right, yeah.
Discovery.org.
Okay. And /CSC. But once you're on the Discovery site, you'll be able to find. There are various number of initiatives there, and you'll want the Center for Science and Culture. That's the arm of the Discovery Institute that's focused on intelligent design.
Great. Well, Bill Dembski, my friend, thank you so much for coming on Gilmore and Glahn. This has been an excellent opportunity to catch up and to review, and we'll be looking forward. Maybe we can have you on in another year and see what has happened in the meantime. This has been another episode of Gilmore and Glahn, coming to you from the TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, the studios of KTLK Radio, AM 1130. Thank you for listening, and join us next week. Thank you again, Bill.
For more about Dembski's latest book, Being as Communion, visit beingascommunion.com. For more coverage and commentary on the debate over evolution and intelligent design, Be sure to visit Evolution News and Views at www.evolutionnews.org.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.